Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello, I'm Sam Parado, and you are listening to Expedition Self. We've got a really interesting show today. It's going to be about cuddling up with the undesirables, and I'm going to attempt to create kind of an abstract place of connection for you as we go through the conversation. Okay, I'm going to take a great deep breath here. I'm definitely starting to settle into this Wednesday afternoon conversation. I don't know how many shows it's been, but at this point, I would like to invite you to suggest subjects that you might like to know more about or situations in your life you're grappling with and you'd like to hear maybe a different perspective about it. So feel free to write me at hello@expeditionself.com. Super easy to remember there. Also, I had someone mention recently when talking about the show that they don't call in sometimes because they don't actually have a question. So I want to assure you, you don't have to have a question. You can just call in and share something that's touched you from the conversation, or maybe some insight you've had along the way, you know, in your own journey, or some moment that fits exactly, you know, what I'm prompting us to talk about. But any of that is completely okay, because I'd rather, you know, have you share and be with us rather than worry about asking some question that you don't even, you know, need an answer to. So there's a reason I titled this show Cuddling with the Undesirables. And it's because the last thing most of us want to do is cuddle or even snuggle up just a little with. And usually we want to run and avoid and deny that they even exist. So our, you know, let's be all positive selves generally find that spending much time here is really such a drag. So today, yeah, hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be able to identify one or two of these little unwanted baddies for yourself and maybe even learn how to work with unseating them from the negative position that they hold inside your inner kingdom. I've got to break this topic down into smaller and smaller parts. So, you know, as the hour goes on, you might feel yourself trying to follow along with me and then realize you lost something that I was saying. Just remember that your mind isn't the only part of you that listens to anything, really. Your psyche is always processing your unconscious self too, right? So if you feel like you lose me on the path, then just go back and think about the last thing you grabbed onto. And then you want to trust that this is something you're going to want to go back and ponder when you get some time. Because it's really important to honor whatever you get and wherever you get to, that's enough, that's what you need. And of course, you can always go back and re-listen to the entire show, right? As a way to drop in deeper. And this is just a little segue about this. You know, I feel so grateful to be able to share my work here on OM Times Radio. I mean, it's really like a dream come true. And it gets even better because you can find me in the archives here or on Spotify or on Apple Music. And, you know, the first time I found myself on one of those platforms, I screamed. It was like, oh, so cool. So, you know, there's lots of great shows here besides mine on OM Times Radio. And so if you like what I'm talking about, you know, that it's worth checking out some of the others. Also, OM Times Magazine is put out as well. And I really think that they get to different angles about human development and human spirituality. And so I think it's awesome stuff. Okay, so let's dive in, right? Let's go into this nestling up with the dark side stuff by way of how we might more easily regard the undesirables. And that's really through another person. So I'd like you to run through in your mind all of the qualities about others that you don't like. I'm going to go through a list real slow. Self-centered, insensitive, inconsiderate, haughty, petty, hateful, jealous, greedy, ungrateful, disinterested, apathetic, lazy. Really think about what turns you off in others and what you do about it when you encounter it. I know, you know, we'll typically default to judging when we encounter these qualities because, again, we've already decided they're not desirable. But today, I'd like to go underneath and inside what actually happens with them. So this is the piece that's kind of hard to explain. So I'm going to build blocks here as we go. So this is the like base block, all right? I'd like you to think about what I think is a totally at the core motivation and want for all of us as human beings. Can you connect with the want and the craving for this deep and profound connection with others? It's this feeling that binds us to one another through this inmost sense of soulfully being opened to and allowed in. That's what I'm talking about. It would be a sense of things, a feeling almost in your body or in your belly. You could think about it like an empty vessel, looking for ways to fill itself. But the true innocent feeling that's seeking the feeling of being occupied, it's not attached to the actions and behaviors that we take in the here and now, right? That feeling, it lives and it kind of is at work all the time. So by the time this deep longing, it reaches the surface of the moment, right through and within us, it doesn't look like this deep longing. Or maybe you could say we don't recognize it as that. Okay, so I'm talking about this vessel that's in our bellies that wants connection, wants to be let in, wants to feel as though we can contribute and be contributed to, but we lose touch with it as it comes to the surface of our mind, like where our conscious self is. And so the degree to which this vessel is empty, it's also the degree to which we can feel out of balance or weighted on one side or the other. And then the more we feel out of balance, the more we'll express our ways of being in the extreme rather than in the middle. So this dynamic, it produces these aspects of others we don't like, and it produces our response to it, and it produces the parts of ourself we don't like either, that out of balance where the vessel doesn't get connected with. So I want to repeat this for you because it's really kind of like the base layer of what we're talking about today. The degree to which this vessel is empty is the degree to which we can feel out of balance. And the more we feel out of balance, the more we'll find ways to express being in the extreme rather than through the middle road. And this dynamic, it produces these aspects that we don't like. Okay, deep breath here. So undesirable qualities demonstrated by others when you interact with them, they bring up and make contact with this missing void-filled space between you and the other. And this contact, or the lack of full receptivity, is in constant motion, vibing or not within you. So can you find a moment right now when someone was being a way that you don't respect or like? And then can you go down, down, down and see what you felt when that happened with your connection to them? Keep your flashlight solely on what you were experiencing. Were they tipping the scales and being more extreme in that aspect? What could you see and feel and brush up against within yourself? So most of the time, we don't know how to make contact with those minute-by-minute singular responses that are happening inside of ourselves, inside the vessel. You know, those ones that are ebbing and flowing with a sense of boundness, is that a word, with another person. And so that's what we're going to use as the basis for how we relate to these undesirable places. Let's do an experiment, okay? See if you can go inside right now and notice a string attaching your heart to mine across the airwaves. How concentrated or rich or how much movement or motion is in that cord that stretches between us? And when you're in there, see if you can notice any resistance that's centering itself inside of you, that's crossing that cord or that string. It might look like a thought, like distractions, or it might have places where my words are settling in, or maybe your sense of this topic and ways you've thought about it already. So this minute by minute inner hand holding, right, like it's your hand, is the very thing that helps you because it's the basis for this truest self-awareness. Noticing and understanding what's happening in there, this is where you'll ultimately find the undesirable qualities I'm inviting you to cuddle up with today. And you're going to find them in smaller and smaller parts. So if you think of a pie, there might be overarching ways of being you just find totally intolerable, right? Like selfishness is common, meanness or arrogance. I hear that a lot. I can't stand arrogant people. And those might fill 25% of the pie. Well, actually, I did three, so that would be 33%. But if you continue to break those down inside the self into smaller pieces of, let's say, 5% each, you'll find even more to be aware of, more to notice while you go through your day and to use to learn about yourself. So yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are hundreds of bundles of distasteful self-descriptors. Do you love that? I love it when words come together like that. I read authors that do that. Okay, hundreds of bundles of distasteful self-descriptors awaiting your recognition and your claiming and your working through them. And this is what's happening inside of ourselves. These are those self-discovery fields where you can see more about yourself and how you engage, you know, with the world. So right now, I'm going to give you the phone number because you may be feeling like you want to call and talk to me about some undesirable space or that connection from heart to heart or the vessel that's always looking for that wholeness and that fullness. And the number is 202-570-7057. So let's take one of these questionable qualities, like being self-centered or selfish, and see where it takes us. Okay, I'm going to walk through what happens to me. So when I encounter someone who I have decided is self-centered, here's how it plays out. So while I listen to them talk or I participate in some activity with them, I start to register that they didn't consider my feelings or my wants or my needs, like they didn't include me in some way. And so maybe they don't ask me what I want and they just go on and do what they want. That will live inside of self-centered. Maybe I try to get into the conversation and I feel blown off, or they refuse to recognize that they're doing some action that, you know, is leaving me or others where it looks like they're feeling unimportant. It could be anything because it's coming out of your psyche and your history. So your definition of what self-centered looks like is going to be different than mine. But the minute I notice what appears to be this self-centeredness or selfishness, I actually feel defensive. Like this little wall, the size of a paperclip, it just erects itself between them and me. Now I'm really in that singular moment by moment kind of attention to my inner self to come up with this, right? So you might typically think that I would judge from my mind first, right? Like, oh, I see self-centeredness. Oh, that's wrong. But I don't think that's the case. I think the mind actually registers the self-centeredness and the heart registers the disconnect I was trying to describe before first. But we don't know how to stay that connected to the heart in that little tiny split second, the micro moment. And so the mind looks like it came first. So the judgment happens actually after the heart feels the hit to that inner place, that vessel, because the psyche, it has to explain the feeling and judging. You know, judging is a very busy character in our world, right? Judging helps that happen to make sense of this stuff. But if we're not conscious, if we're not in touch, if we don't actually really feel in the moment that heart place that doesn't get met, what are we left with? We're left with the mind trying to cope with it and sort it out because we're not aware of that singular response. Remember, I call it singular because it's like the needle falling on a table in slow motion. That's the way the heart feels it, but the mind registers it at warp speed and tries to do something with it as hastily as it absolutely can. Okay, so I'm hoping you're kind of right with me. I'm talking about this deep connection that we actually need and want. And I'm talking about the idea that it's going on all the time, trying to take in information. And when we encounter someone that has qualities that we don't like, we actually feel something about that. And then that prompts a judgment. Okay, so in this realm of undesirables, this is really important because it's the place where it starts inside of you. It's the place where you are able to connect with seeing other people's undesirables, which are often a lot easier than seeing our own. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to go further with this and start building the blocks above it as we go. All right, and here's the number, 202-570-7057. I'd love to hear from you when we return from break.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Okay, we are back and you're listening to Expedition Self. I'm Sam Parado, and today we are really opening up this idea of how to connect with and embrace the things about ourselves that we don't really like. And up to this point, I haven't actually talked about really what we don't like about ourselves personally, because we've been talking about what we don't like in others as a way to get clarity and send ourselves into this next space. Okay, so I'm going to pick up where I was left off, which is once this unseen dance happens between the other person and myself, with my heart and my mind trying to make sense of that little heart smacking vortex, right, where it's missing, I'll start to think about what I need to do to protect myself, right? We're going through this idea of self-centered and what happens when I encounter self-centered with someone else. And so that sets off a pathway to pulling back, to not talking as much, to rearranging my schedule or changing the subject, right? Anything to begin to alter dealing with this self-centeredness that I'm encountering, supposedly in them, but it's not really the self-centeredness I'm pulling away from. It's that feeling in my heart that can't stand the missing piece. That's what I'm really backing away from. Does this make sense? It's like I'm saying what we think we're responding to isn't what we're really responding to. This core want is actually what's driving what we think is a judgment and a reaction to that. So I kind of want to like reread this to you. So it's this unseen dance. It happens between the other person and myself. My heart and my mind are trying to make sense of what it's not getting. And then it sets off this pathway of me pulling back, where I don't talk to them as much. I change the subject. I withhold. I begin to alter dealing with that self-centeredness that I'm encountering. But it's not really that self-centeredness I'm dealing with. It's the feeling in my heart that can't stand that missing piece. So in this next moment, there's this potential for a glimmer flicker to notice if you can get that connected and self-aware that your heart actually hurts. Your heart's hurting. That vessel is letting you know it's missing something. You know, lately I actually have noticed that I actually feel pain in my heart, like an ache when I'm not able to make full contact, you know, with another person. And of course, that pain, if we can catch it, it allows us to go down inside of ourselves rather than pursuing some external action, like I described above, like pulling away or being defensive. So can you stop and feel sad for that feeling, that missing piece? Can you actually be with or allow the feeling to exist as long as it wants to? Because if you can do this before you go running off and circling and avoiding this loss of contact and the missing of being, you have this huge opportunity to explore your inner world in an entirely different way. And you also provide an opportunity for the other person to get let off that hook and to avoid getting pinned by your penetrating intellect, trying to deal with the experiential emotional disappointment and sensation of that empty vessel by judging, accusing, and concluding. It's like all human relationship could alter if we could really get better and better and better at connecting here. I often use a phrase, it's a failure to be, to describe this experience. You know, if you think of it as this flow, like electricity and breath, that all of a sudden it just ceases to meet in the middle. You know, I think of it like even superheroes, you know, when they've got their laser hands going across and the other one is, and then they meet in the middle. If you can truly acknowledge the failure to be that's happening within you through them, the entire reactivity that usually accompanies the moment when you have a skirmish with some part of you that you don't like, as it's exhibited by someone else, it becomes less charged and less harsh. And then you get to think, here it is, about your own self-centeredness. You were waiting for that one, right? Where does it exist? How have you made it wrong? What are the moments of life when you felt like you had to be self-centered to get your needs met? Oh, I just flipped that one, didn't I? And did you actually act on it, or did you try to stuff it instead because it's an unacceptable action? Which, if that's the case, you've got resentment in there and feeling unfairness and all kinds of things that come with that stuffing. So this is where the conversation starts to turn towards that cuddling up with the unwanted parts of ourselves. I'm going to give you the number again, because I'm thinking, if you're with me, that you're probably starting to zero in on some aspect of yourself you don't like. And maybe you're connecting that with this place of feeling like you don't get to be with other people. And of course, then that means you don't get to be with yourself. So this is a prime time to call in 202-570-7057. So I'm suggesting that when you don't like a quality in someone else, that equates to a place inside of you that you don't like either. This is a big jump, because sometimes the quality inside of you, it doesn't actually precisely look the way it does in the other person and the way they act. And I'm not saying you do it exactly the way they do, but you can be assured that some aspect of what you're seeing in them holds an importance inside of your psyche for some reason. You wouldn't notice it. You wouldn't feel something about it. You wouldn't experience that disconnect unless you had a charge about it. And they don't cause it. They just help you to see it. They help to illuminate it. They help to bring it out into view or to remove the veils that you can't see in yourself by yourself, but you can see or are more willing to see in them. You know, I guess this is a moment to say it's kind of easier to make other people wrong than it is to see the part of ourselves that we would make wrong. And this is the best of growth work, when we can grab a hold of something that looks like it's about someone else and instead go find its home inside of us. So these aspects of behavior or being for them, they're really an outflow of that expectant waiting vessel that I talked about in them. And while you hold on to your opinions and judgments about others, it's likely you have also decided what you don't like about you. So this is where I'd like to pick out some of the most likely ones to dive into a little deeper. Keep in mind that you may be totally aware and in touch with what some of them are, and then you also may be completely in the dark about some. I think that's why they call it the dark side, right? So to be human absolutely means that we have blind spots about ourselves. And I think growth and transformation is often motivated by our curiosity and our desire to see where those actually exist. So my favorite one to work is jealousy. And, you know, when I was growing up, I felt jealousy a lot. And it's one of those experiences that people think is small-minded, unbecoming, you know, a sign of someone who's not magnanimous and gracious. But let's look a lot deeper at the true nature of jealousy. It means somewhere you know you don't have something. You're in touch with your wanting, and you're able to actually see it through and within someone else's life. That emptiness, when we can get in touch with it, is really an important, center of the way we're going to go out and go after the things that we want in life. So underneath jealousy is this rich reservoir of self-manifesting material. If we drop under and inside of this experience and think about the always waiting vessel, you know, not being completely filled up, then we can allow, we can make room for this wanting, this ache, you know, the longing, and begin to play where it started. And that means we can accept our innocence and just wanting connection to feel that sense of being enough. Imagine if every person you came in contact with that demonstrated qualities you didn't like, that you could take the case that what's really going on for them is that they're innocently wanting. And that's what you can also do with yourself when you start making wrong these parts that live inside of ourselves. So where does that kind of longing start? And what are the circumstances that bring it out in the open? Because when we're talking about jealousy or we're going into places that we're making wrong, you've got to do it really gently. Because when we go inside and look beneath these aspects that we don't want to be affiliated with, it's important to take the case that you are not a bad person because you are jealous. And of course, this bumps up against like our cultures and our family values and our religions. And the challenge about that is that all those places where you make something wrong about yourself, those are also the places that you deprive yourself of getting that innocent, like filled up space met. Because you are human first. You came out into the world as a human being. Yes, I get the spiritual piece that goes with it, but I think it's our humanness that really we have to expand and blow up and magnify and amplify so that we can make a lot more room, a lot more space for all that we are. Because being human means you embrace and celebrate all of it, even the stuff that you'd never, ever, not until your last breath, want to be. Okay, let's take a breath. I'm interested in how you're settling into this conversation. Remember at the beginning, I said you may lose me along the way, but don't worry about it because we're just building the story here. We're building the way we're talking about this so that you have time to settle into what are these places that are live inside yourself that you've made wrong and how can you get closer and closer and closer to them. So how did we get here? Well, it happened along the way of our universally shared, like comprehensive kind of cycle of development, right? This list of desirable traits got created. And then any real appreciation for what didn't make that list, it got processed through that right, wrong wash cycle. It got wrung out and folded on the shelf to be avoided at all costs. It's likely, you know, you've heard about this idea of the shadow self or the dark side. Well, these unwanted qualities are the occupants, the year-round residents of the shadow self. And they got there because we didn't want any affiliation with them. You know, it reminds me of a moment when my son was little. We'd be sitting at the dinner table with my mom and his dad, and, you know, like no more than 3 feet away from each other. And he'd lean over to me with his little hand hiding his mouth. And he'd whisper as if there was no one else in the room. And he'd say, "Mom, Dad was mean to me today." And you know, it was so funny when he would do it because it was clear that they were hearing it to me. But this is how this is. You go through life while these ways of being or behaviors are playing out all around you. It's like you got a whole cast of characters in the room. But because you deny they exist or don't want them, at some level you can pretend they're not there. You can also just not see them or not understand that the words that just came out of your mouth, that those words are a way of being that you don't register as that unwanted quality. When I was in my, I want to say my late 20s, early 30s, when I first started facilitating and coaching, I would interact with people in very direct and straight ways, and they would start to feel unsafe with me and shrink away. And I had no idea I was being aggressive. I didn't register for me because what I was doing in my own head was engaging with them and trying to help and trying to be with them, right? I didn't register it because what was in the part of the room that I couldn't see, I didn't register my aggression or my need to push. I'm going to talk a little bit more about where that came from later, right? So as we talk about it, can you add that? Can you add to that list? I'm sorry. Like where we started. What don't you want to be? Or how don't you want to behave? Or what quality that you've deemed as unacceptable do you try to work around or manage? It's got some thoughts coming up, right? Like right now, like think about it. And the other thing that I just alluded to in there is, what kinds of reactions happen in your world that you've never connected or associated with anything that you're doing or being because your intentions are pure, because you're connecting with a desire to do something that looks positive to you, and then you don't see the pieces that are less acceptable. All right. Everybody take deep breaths. That's what I'm doing because I feel like we're just rolling through this topic today, and it's a big one. I really believe that life opens up. Life completely like lays a pathway, puts the bricks down, waters the grass for us when we can look inside of this conversation. Now, again, you have to be careful because you don't want to then turn all that judgment on yourself when we're here. So that's one of those skills you're going to develop over and over, over a month and then another month, is learn how not to judge, but to see it as some treasure that you're excavating for, that you're going in and trying to bring out and look at. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about selfish. We'll go on that one, and we'll start to dive in and see what we find. Okay, so
the best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, we are back. I'm Sam Parado. You're listening to Expedition Self, and we are talking about all of those aspects of ourselves that we don't like and we don't want and we don't want to know. And while we were on break, Denise from Arizona called in, so I cannot wait, Denise, to hear about what you think about these undesirable things.
Well, my stomach is like a bundle of, I don't know, like jumbled up energy. Whatever you said in the first 15 minutes, it was like, I don't even get this. And I feel like I've been doing this for a while. And then as you started to pull everything through, it was like this waterfall or something of stuff coming in on just really how big and how many little places to track everything. And I feel like I was doing it like one or two little threads at a time when there's maybe a million threads to like.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I really have a question, but
no, it sounds like you got it.
Oh, no, what to do with it. Okay.
Well, let me I think you did get it, because that vessel that I kept talking about, the reason I spent so much time on it, is that if mm-hmm. we recognize that that vessel is looking to connect every minute, and then these traits are playing into it, then you all of a sudden, you know, you're hopefully like your empathy for what we're all trying to do all the time grows. And when you say, oh my gosh, there's millions of them, I just feel like that allows us then to appreciate the magnitude of the human experience. And we have no choice then but to accept this is what being human must be, right?
Right. You know, what you talk about the vessel, what I did get and pick up from that is, you know, that longing, that deep desire. I can remember that from high school age. That's about the first time they pick it up, even on in like wanting a deeper communication, a deeper connection with everyone. And then now, I don't know, seeing this and the magnitude of it, it's like how much of myself is in the way while I'm wanting someone else to fulfill this. It starts here.
Awesome. Awesome. Sounds like you're doing the work. Thank you for calling and sharing it with us. I appreciate it.
I can't wait to hear the selfish one. All right.
Okay.
Thanks,
well,
Sam.
Here I go. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. So here we are about selfish. So I'm so pleased, Denise, really, when people call in and they share what they're doing with it, I just think it broadens and adds dimension to what we're talking about. So I want to tell you, I try to revel in seeing ways that I'm selfish so that I can get unbound about it and thoroughly stand in it. Like, so how selfish am I? I am so selfish that I buy one present for every two at Christmas time to make sure that I get what I want. Or I'm so selfish that I make sure I choose the cookies with the most chocolate chips in them, even if I'm in a room full of people. So can you answer that question? I am so selfish that. And by the way, you can fill any word in there if you're trying to go towards it, because it brings me to another way to work with these personal traits that we want no part of. You have to put yourself in it wholly and completely, like immerse your psyche in it so that your psyche has to bump up against it, right? It's like you have to feel enmeshed in it, the thing you don't want to be. And you know, it's going to surface any defenses because they're going to say, that's not true. I didn't do that there. That's not what it is. You're not really selfish. And honestly, I can tell you with all my reveling in selfishness, I still have a little part that goes, I'm not really selfish, right? Because when you're able to really wrap yourself in the thing you don't want to be, then you're going to gain a sense of self-acceptance that's hard to find in any other place. Like imagine putting on a t-shirt that's too tight and it has prickly fabric, it makes you itch, maybe even missing an armhole. The more you can handle the experience of being inside that shirt, the more you don't have to run from it, or deny it, or push it to the side, or manage it, or feel that battle that's waged around it. And the more you're going to drop into that core wanting of connection and intimacy. And that's really where we start to transform life. Because before you know it, you're going to discover the utility of the thing you didn't like, the power of it to aid in your life, because you won't be using your power to subjugate and eliminate it. It's like a big sensory payday when you can redirect all of that disclaimer energy towards freeing what's actually been trapped down there. And this brings me to this essence of self-love. You know, the problem with wanting to develop self-love is that we're trying to feel good about what we feel good about. And this is a huge, huge trap. It's like a reinforcing loop. It causes our self-love to be dependent, held hostage on only being part of our humanness that we welcome and admire. So the other aspects of the self that don't fit that, they pop in to get some action. Then we feel unlovable. We berate ourselves. No self there. And then we work to get back to a place where we're on the plus side of that invisible list we're maintaining all the time anyway. And by the way, underneath that deep connection thing, it's not getting met there either. Really, you're like bouncing back and forth, right? You could say the getting whole depends on completely debunking that very way you relate to these unspeakables, because if you don't truly befriend them, then you're destining yourself to work with only a subset of what you're actually capable of being. You need all of you, right? Three capital letters, A-L-L, all. The painful stuff takes up space in your psyche just as much as the joyful, happy stuff, but it all makes up the mass, the substance of who you are. So one of the outcomes of opening the door to these unwelcome guests is that you can now truly understand others better. You resist them less. You're able to keep your heart open, even though they're behaving or being in a way that normally you would reject. And your world, it expands. There's more doors. So inside the psyche, we're putting up little walls all the time, erecting them without even realizing it's happening. And we're so busy trying to be acceptable to ourselves, we just can't. I mean, absolutely abstain from anything that threatens this safe, good, I'm likable, and I do the right thing self. So what we don't realize is that we're locking ourselves inside. First inside of our own list of unmentionables, and then away from others' unmentionables. It's not freedom that exists here. It's a kind of unconscious entrapment. I'm saying this one again. What we don't realize is that we're locking ourselves inside our own list of unmentionables, and then from others. There's no freedom in this because it's like unconscious entrapment. We don't even realize it. Okay, so let's choose another one. Lazy, ungrateful, defensive. Lots of times we'll find these undesirable traits in the very busy halls of rationalization. And those halls are owned and operated by what I call my inner accountant, right? That occupies each of our minds. So this accountant, it's running numbers all day long. So take lazy, for instance. It might sound something like, I put out a lot because of my job. Why should I have to do this when I've already worked hard and long enough? Or, I know I'm lazy, it's a really bad thing, but doing more isn't really that important to me anyway. Or, let's take ungrateful. I don't have to be grateful for something I didn't ask for to begin with. I can't be grateful because I never get the equivalent of what I've given. Or here's another one. I'm grateful for the things that I think are really someone going out of their way. But if it's just part of their regular program, I don't know why I would appreciate them for that. Okay, and then the defensive one is classic because none of us want to be seen as defensive. Even though we're resisting ideas and situations and circumstances all of the time. Words like, what? I'm not defensive. I was just telling you my feelings. Or, I'm not someone who's defensive. I just know how to stand in what I believe. I hope these are helping you connect with this idea, because these rationalizations, they kind of embed your real opinion and your ownership of the entire story by wrapping around these aspects we don't like and basically reducing them down to zero. I did this, therefore I don't have to do that. This was done to me, therefore I couldn't possibly be doing what they're implying. So what does it take to really grab a hold of these outliers? What does it take? That's what we're talking about, right? First, you have to find them. And you'll see them in what you turn away from in others. Simply think about people you haven't liked and why. And then really try to describe the scenarios that you were able to identify in like their qualities, right? You could also sit down and write a list of all of your best attributes. And then on the other side of the page, write the opposite of those. So starting list for you. You know, look for the one that calls out to you or the one that's shown up in your life as a pattern in some way, or you have people around you that all seem to demonstrate this and it makes you crazy. You can also look at a parent or a significant adult that was in your life and think about the qualities they had that you did not like. And you'll probably find something there for you. You can also look at that parent or significant figure in your life and notice what you admire about them. And whatever that is, it's likely you'll find that the opposite quality is in the freezer, hoping never to be thawed. You know, my stepfather was, in terms of ways of being and things that I would find unacceptable, he was cruel and he was volatile and he was violent. So I don't have to look far to find parts of myself that I would want nothing to do with. Right? And so you have to do that sourcing and that connecting. That storytelling that lives at the source of where these opinions or judgments got created, that's where you have to go. So I have to go in and look at how it came across from my stepfather and how I felt hurt in there. And then I have to look at what did I do with that? And then what parts of myself did I disconnect from? So remember earlier in the show when I talked about being aggressive? Well, that was tied to these undesirable traits that he had that I couldn't see in myself that I wasn't able to get connected to. So what moments had you decide that this was a bad thing to be? Where did it originate? How did you come to decide that it was not something that you wanted? You know, sometimes one of the reasons we determine an aspect of self is unacceptable is because we're hurt by that thing inside a relationship with someone else, like I was with my stepfather. Sometimes we watch others get hurt, right? Because of actions that the people that we care about, and we decide that aspect we're never going to be. So there's definitely ammunition in our perspective, like valid life experiences that help shape this. And truly, others' vessels are looking for nourishment all of the time too, no matter how it plays out, no matter how cruel my stepfather was. That's actually what he was looking for too. And life just isn't designed to fill it from the beginning or to even keep it filled up. You know, sometimes I think this is what keeps motivating us to transform, right? If we were comfortable and completely like at peace all the time, what would have us look further than what we know or what we've experienced? In some ways, it's a gift. All these dark side, shadow self moments, these experiences that we have where we don't get that vessel filled up, they're opportunities to get conscious. And the challenge with knowing that the empty vessel is producing undesirable ways of being is that while we don't have to act out in disconnected ways with every aspect of being human, like it's enough to own it and claim it, we do want to own, we do want to claim, we do want to accept, and we want to understand every aspect of being human. So I'm talking about really going inside. Right. This is my subject, right? Wrapping your hands around this not good part of the self, settling into it, crying over the layers, experiencing the discomfort of this within the body and challenging the judgments and compassionately giving yourself this human connection and acceptance by understanding what happened for you as a person that would bring this quality to the fore. Why would I be lazy? What beliefs do I hold about that? If I wasn't lazy, what would that mean for me? When did I decide what being lazy really looked like? You can fill in any of the undesirable words that you're working with inside of these questions. Where can I find violence inside of myself, even if I don't act out like my stepfather? About 3 years ago, when the world was just completely like upside down and all the government stuff that was going on, I went in and worked on finding violence inside of myself and what was at the source of it and what was at the root of it so that I could stop making it wrong, but own these parts of myself that I hadn't. You know, what about my life would have me feel jealous of what others have? Think about the questions you could ask right now. Labels like narcissistic or passive aggressive or being pushy or bossy, all of these can be explored to better decipher your inner closet full of qualities you'd rather put in the goodwill bag. So yeah, these questions help you to go inside. And when you go inside, you learn about yourself. And when you learn about yourself, you begin to break down that cycle or wheel of loving yourself only for what's lovable. And when you do that, you embrace the worst part of who you are and you replace it with the whole of who you are. This is true freedom, baby. I'm not kidding you. And when you do that for yourself, guess what? You do it for others. And then you don't have to fake being non-judgmental because you actually have transformed it. And now it's a basis for being one with the human race, for getting that sense of intimacy met. Not just one with the people who fit the way you want to see the world, but one with the qualities of what makes us us. And you'll have more wisdom and compassion to bring to the reason why any of these qualities can start to get out of balance or cause us to go unconscious or get a hold of us by the throat as a kind of coping mechanism. So thank you for sharing this hour with me. I hope you're inspired to go find those aspects of yourself that you've deemed undesirable and simply love the buckets out of them. And you. Next week, our show is going to be about friendship. And this particular topic is one that I feel like I didn't even really begin to understand. And I still would say I'm such a novice in this until I was in my 30s. So I hope that you will tune in and think about friendship between now and then, and maybe want to share it with us when we get on the call. Also, let me see where I'm at time-wise. I think I can actually... as I wanted to share with you a post today. We promote the show each week, and Ruthie wrote on the sharing about what we were going to be talking about. She said, "I just had another nosedive into feeling disapproved of and corrected. It took me to that dark place. It's not only an emotional reaction, but a visceral one as well. Like someone unplugged me from my energy source." Okay, I have a quote. I have a poem. I'm thinking I might have enough time. I'm not sure I do. I'm going to read this really fast. Let's see if I can do it speed fast. I'm not sure. "I lend everyone my ear, but nobody my heart. And I sure would like to change that, but I don't know where to start. I smile more to myself than the world will ever see, because the only time my smile is real is in my own company. People don't know how I feel. They never even ask. It seems that I have fooled them all. They can't see past my mask. If they were with me late at night when the world was still asleep, maybe then I'd let them sort through the secrets that I keep. But when I wake at 2 a.m., nobody is ever there. And I learned that why I hide my heart is because no one really cares."